Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reports and communication, superintendent's update.
Okay. Just for the audience's knowledge, we are having a special board meeting on Monday at 5 o'clock. The agenda will be posted tomorrow, and we'll have more on this later in the board meeting. I am going to read a response for some anonymous allegations that nobody in here, of course, but I think it needs to be read and put on the public. So, the district has recently received a series of anonymous statements questioning the accuracy of our agendas, our compliance with the Brown Act, and the transparency of our operations. I want to take a few minutes to address these points in a clear, factual, and public manner. First of all, let me be clear, these board agendas are not Mr. Gensler's agendas. Agendas are prepared in accordance with law, reviewed carefully, and ultimately belong to the Board of Trustees. The Wheatland School District Board has already participated in Brown Act trainings many times, and we remain committed to open government and public participation. A suggestion that the agenda items are intentionally hidden or omitted simply are untrue. If a current or former employee or any member of the public has specific or verifiable evidence to support such an accusation, they are welcome to present that at a public meeting. To date, no such evidence has ever been produced. With regard to this month's agenda, it is correct that the supporting documents were not posted by the 72-hour mark for the unaudited actuals and a couple of financial fiscal items. These items were not finalized in time for the posting. This was not an effort to hide any information. Closing the books is a complex and detailed process, and our new CBO is both reviewing last year's work and managing to the added challenge of a serious family medical issue. To ensure full transparency and compliance, these items will not be voted on tonight. Instead, the board will hold a special board meeting on Monday to properly address them. It has been claimed that the board packets are unavailable to the public. This is also false. All board packets are posted online for public access. They are available at school sites as well, and any member of the public can download and print them off of our website. Regarding negotiations items on tonight's agenda, items 5.8 and 5.9, these are called sunshine items. By law, these items are intended only to inform the public of which topics will be discussed at the bargaining table. They are not contracts, they do not contain salary schedules, and no agreements have been reached. The rumors that you cited by the anonymous group of an 8% raise is entirely inaccurate and misleading. We have not even sat down to negotiate with any employee units. No terms have been finalized. Another claim was that I or the board retaliated against community members or discouraged transparency. This is also untrue. The district does not create policies independently. All policies are vetted through legal counsel and formally adopted by the board. With respect to the public records request, our practice, posting both the requests and the responses online, is standard and lawful. And it's a method used across California to promote transparency and to avoid duplicate requests. This is not a policy that I made up, nor is it retaliation. Allegations of threats, harassment, and retaliation against parents, staff, and students are extremely serious. To date, no credible evidence has been presented to support these ongoing claims. We will not respond to rumor or innuendo, but we will continue to uphold professional standards and protect the rights of our students, staff, and families. The Wheatland School District has a long record of transparency, accountability, and service to the community. Our finances are audited by an outside firm every year, and those audits have consistently been clean with no findings of financial misconduct. We welcome oversight because we have nothing to hide. As I conclude, I want to be clear about what defines the Wheatland School District. In my 16 years as a superintendent, I have seen exceptional growth, achievement, and community pride. Our schools deliver high-quality instruction, and our staff go above and beyond every single day. The demand to enroll in our schools is so strong that we are forced to turn families away because of space limitations. Families choose Wheatland because our strong academic programs, safe environments, and outstanding educators. The board and I are unwavering on our focus on students. We are proud of the record, of our record, transparent in our operations, and open to constructive dialogue based on facts and solutions. We refuse to let an anonymous group relying on recycled and unfounded accusations undermine the credibility of the district or distract from educating the children that we are serving. I want to thank this board, our administrative team, and every employee in the district for their commitment to our students, our schools, and our community. Together, we will remain focused, resilient, and steadfast in doing what is right for the Wheatland children. Our commitment is unwavering, and our focus remains exactly where it belongs, on the success of the Wheatland's children. Thank you. I will move on to the attendance report. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,361 students. This is 6 more than we had this time last year, but 9 less than the previous report. And as I told you at the previous report, we knew it was going to come in a little high because not everybody tells us that they're not coming back to school. We have 65 students currently in the preschool program, which is 14 less than last year, but 9 more than last month. We have a total of 1,426 with all groups, which is 8 less than last year, all preschool, and 5 less than last month. And that is all I have for superintendent's report.
Okay, communications from the public for items not on the agenda.
Colonel, are you going to talk about what Annette sent, or should I talk about it?
Well, I'll be happy to hit on it.
Okay, perfect.
Charles Hanson, good evening. Ms. Goodley couldn't be here tonight, but she's in communication if anybody needs anything specific to her role as our liaison officer. But congrats on the first month of school. Looks like smooth rotation now that everyone's getting comfortable. Certainly appreciate the comms with us, everything from transportation to some opportunities up in Lone Tree. Speaking of opportunities, thank you for the folks that were involved in the California Compact training. Ms. Loopy, thank you, and others that took part in. There'll be more opportunities in the future on it, but I was told that was a great partnership to move through it. We have parenting classes, so if anyone's seeing opportunities out there to refer folks through Ms. Goodley or anyone else on the base, we'd be happy to help tie them in with different resources. Those continue throughout the year. Parents are given opportunities with different refreshments and educational material and even some incentives that they can take home with the kids. We have other events taking place for what we consider our exceptional family member programs. So those with special needs, and then also our deployed families participate in these programs that'll be coming up. We got one in mid-September again. Halloween season's around the corner. I know you'll see more traffic headed over to your side of town, but we'll also do a bazaar and a trunk-or-treat event on base. We'll continue to advertise that. Always enjoy the participation with the school and our youth center. Bill Kahn, which I'm told is quite the event of the young dressing up and the young at heart dressing up and their favorite maybe anime or comic characters. Big event, lots of educational opportunities there, but also just some fun play. That'll be taking place at the end of the month on the 27th. And then one talk on, we are in communication now with the Defense State Liaison Office as Mr. Rob Greger, the superintendent of schools, is working on introducing more legislation to look at the transfer of teacher certificates with military spouses moving in the area. I believe we're up to 43 states in the country have accepted that. We're still working on California's opportunity and hope we can continue to move that forward together. But we'll be hosting the state liaison officer to come out here. She covers California and about 5 other states, but we'd like to find an opportunity to partner with y'all and show that great relationship in the community. Stay tuned, that'll be months from now. And then lastly, the 2026 Military Child of the Year Award is returning this year. We have an outstanding team in the community, coaches, parents, teachers, mentors, and even guardians and parents, or I would say parents, can nominate anyone 13 to 18 years old, and we'll continue to push that information out and get out and celebrate some of our youth. And I know we had an exceptional young man last year that we recognized at the high school that was selected into that program. So, again, Ms. Annette passes on thank you for how great the year's gone, and really thank you for the awesome communication that's come back and forth through her.
Thank you. Okay, consent agenda. I'm sorry, I forgot how to present this.
They can make a motion to accept the entire consent agenda, or they can pull anything that if they ask specific.
So questions. Moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Consent agenda passes. Okay, 5.1, public hearing for certification of instructional materials per education code 60119.
So you need to go into a public hearing, so just hit the gavel and say public hearing open.
Public hearing open.
So this is a public notice that we have to put out every year about our certification of instructional materials per Ed Code. And so there's a resolution and a public notice that will be, well, the public notice doesn't get adopted, but the resolution is the next one that will get adopted. But during the public hearing, anybody from the public can ask questions. This one is information also.
So no action needs to be taken.
So then you, if there's no nothing, you just close out of the public hearing.
Closed.
Perfect.
We got this. 5.2, adopt resolution 252601 regarding funding for pupil textbook and instructional materials incentive program. Certification of instructional materials per education code section 60119.
So this is a resolution that we have to pass and send off to the state in order to get the continued funding for our instructional materials. We have had no Williams Act complaints about not having materials. We are starting to run low on some of the curriculum areas because the state is lagging on getting us the adopted curriculum. But we are doing our best to keep up. We will have a Williams visit at Wheatland Elementary. They got luckily picked. So what they do there is they will come around. It's actually somebody from the county will come around with Sherry and go into classrooms and look for curriculum and make sure and check any Williams Act complaints that we've had, which we've had none. Look at the curriculum that we have, and I think maybe safety as well. And, we had to give them board resolutions and all of that, so we expect that this will go just fine. But this is to adopt the resolution so that we can continue to have funding for our instructional materials.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
May I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That passes. 5.3, are we approving this or are we just discussing this?
So no, 5.3, 5.4, and 5.5 will be delayed until the Monday meeting.
Okay.
And then the agenda for those three items will go out tomorrow with the unaudited actuals attached, the GAN stuff is attached, but anything else on that, and the EPA will be attached. It'll be a special meeting, so we have a 24-hour window to make sure those things are attached, and they will be out tomorrow.
Thank you for doing that.
So you can pull 5.3, 5.4, and 5.5.
So pulled. 5.6, approve out-of-state trip for the FFA National Conference.
Okay, so this is simply an annual trip that we have with our FFA students that qualify to go to Nationals. They are held the week of October 26th through November 1st. We have seven students that have qualified, and I believe six of the seven have qualified for national competition. Funding will be self-paid, FFA, alumni supporters, and miscellaneous fundraisers. Only one student actually still attends, Bear River, so you're approving it for the one. The other six have to be approved at the high school because they've moved on.
When they qualified, they were very good for students, but then they advanced on to the high school.
Which is what happens to us every year. Right. So it looks like the rest have moved on to Wheatland High School or Marysville Charter Academy. So we're asking for approval for one adult, Mrs. Stenson, and one student to go to Indianapolis for that October 26th through November 1st.
So Angela, can I ask you a question? So when our students that went on to the high school and they competed as Bear River students and made it, correct, in the beginning. So now when they go on to compete,
they're still competing under the Bear River, even Bear River FFA.
Okay.
Because that's how they qualify. So that's still their title.
So since they built their project at the school site, I'm going to say, for lack of better terms, they continue to work with that, and with Shelley and getting ready to go.
And like all of our practices and stuff have been held at Bear River. So they're coming back, and when we do the practices, we've had four, right, so far, they come back and then we run them through the interview process. And some of the volunteers that come and do it are community members.
Yeah, I did it last year, but I just didn't know, once they move on to the high school, how much still they're connected, their project is still connected to
the
till it's
the
okay.
The whole thing's ran through us.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
The high school will send sometimes one of their teachers to help us with the interview practice or things like that, or they'll come over and help kind of refine boards just time-wise so that the kids don't, if they're playing volleyball or doing other things, they still have time to be able to do it, but 99.9% of it's done by Shelley and Harper.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That passes.
Thank you. It's a great opportunity.
Okay, so this is Cal School's 2024-2025 Wheatland School District Reports.
So this I'm going to turn over to Justin, and he's going to report to you on how the California Healthy Kids Survey for 24-25 came out. He said he said less than an hour. So
I will do the best I can to keep this under an hour, but this is great stuff. So
you're
going to
hear
it's
going to
be riveting.
So every other year, our school is invited to do a survey. It's called the California Healthy Kids Survey. Seventh grade students take the survey, and then they will take it again as ninth graders and again as 11th graders to kind of look at the data over the course of several years and see where they're experiencing drug use, where they're experiencing alcohol use, where they're starting to see more bullying and some of those kinds of things. So this is kind of that way that they look and see where are kids getting hit, and then how can we provide services in those areas to help them out. There's also a survey that's done by our staff and a survey that is done by our parents. And you will see all three of those surveys in the information that you will be provided. Today, I'm just going to be talking about the student survey so that we can take a look at that. We gleaned a lot of really good information from both the staff and the parent survey. And the big overall piece that I can tell you from the parent survey is we need to do a better job of helping parents feel more included at Bear River and feel like they can be part of more of the things that we're offering at Bear River. That seemed to be the biggest feedback that I got in my parent survey aspect. The challenge that we have with our parent survey is there were only 30 respondents. It's supposed to be seventh grade students, and many of them identified themselves as eighth grade parents or sixth grade parents. I had a fourth grade parent in there. It was supposed to be only seventh grade parents that were taking this survey, so the information got out to the general public, and now our data is a little skewed as a result of that. For the first thing that we're going to look at here, purpose of the study, it's been done since 1997. It assesses school climate, safety, health, and well-being. It helps support our LCAP, identifies vulnerable groups, and improves learning environments for our students. This is done through our TUPE grant, so the funding that we get through TUPE also goes to support this process here. Seventh grade students are invited to take this survey. We had 77 participants this year, which is a 57 response rate. In the past, it was where if you don't return your permission slip, then you take the survey. This year, that, we have fewer participants, and that's why we're seeing only a 57% response rate on the survey this year. The demographics of our students, we have 55% male, 43% female. We have two identifying as non-binary. We had 45% white, 35% Hispanic, 11% multiracial, which means that we have a very good survey group to look at with a lot of different groups that are represented within this. 95% of our students that responded live with a parent or guardian. 27% of our students have a military connection. And 49% of our students that responded to the survey have a parent that is a college graduate. So this gives us a good look at like multiple homes within our district and kind of seeing where kids are coming from, a variety of areas, as we can see here. School climate. Respondents shared that 67% of them feel connected. What that means is you'll see in your survey that the packet that I've provided to each one of you is 135 pages long, and I did not print a copy for each one of you. Instead, you guys will get the digital version of it, and in the digital version, it breaks down the questions that actually attach to this. But understand that 67% means that two out of every three of our children on campus feel that they are connected to the campus. For a lot of school districts, for junior high kids, that is not the case. We are doing very well at kids feeling connected to the school at this particular age group. 66% felt academically motivated to perform in school. 67, school has a caring adults, and 76% said the school has high expectations. This is a very good sign when our kids, three out of every four kids, are saying that they feel like the school expects a lot from them. They want them to do well, they want them to push themselves, they want them to be successful. 59% of our kids felt like their parents' involvement was promoted. When we look at engagement and challenges, 34% of our students say that school is boring. I mean, if you ask the kids, most of them tell me school is boring, but only 34% actually listed that as being something that they were upset about. 46% say that they have trouble focusing in school. 14% see school as worthless, and I thought this was a great correlated number here, 14% were absent three or more times. So the correlation between seeing value in school and coming to school, it can't be any more clear for our kids. Those that are not coming are not seeing school as being valuable. Safety and bullying. 56% of our students that responded felt safe at school. 48% say they've experienced being bullied on our campus. When we look at what bullying means, the biggest one for junior high kids is spreading rumors. So we see 43% of our kids saying that the bullying that they're experiencing is somebody spreading a rumor or a lie about them. And this happens quite often, and I spend a large portion of my day dealing with this type of behavior. So-and-so said this about me. And then we have to investigate and talk about and work with those kids to help them resolve their issues. 22% of our kids that responded said that they have a fear of being beaten up. 10% claimed to have seen a weapon on campus. It's important to note that as vice principal, I have had many kids come to me and say, Billy's out there sharpening the stick on a rock, they've got a weapon. So what they identify as being a weapon doesn't necessarily mean like they're bringing a gun or they're bringing a knife or they're bringing something along those lines. Kids identify weapons differently than 32% experience cyberbullying. This is a big thing with junior high kids. Right at this age is where it starts to happen. I don't see it with our sixth graders, but typically seventh grade is when parents start allowing their kids to have social media accounts. And when they start to see social media accounts, they start to experience cyberbullying. A great thing for us is to continue to encourage kids to stay off of social media. They're not ready for it at this age, and this is a great example. Now this is great news right here. On our campus, 3% of our students have tried alcohol or drugs. I've seen that number much higher in past surveys, so the fact that number is so far down is an indicator that some of the things that we're doing on campus to prevent alcohol and drug use are working. When we talk about tobacco use, 1% of our students are claiming to have used tobacco. We have 0% of our students who have claimed using marijuana at that seventh grade age, and we'll see when these kids take the same survey in ninth grade, those numbers are gonna shoot up significantly, and by the time they hit 11th grade, those numbers will be up even further. But 0% of our students right now are claiming to have used marijuana. 1% has tried binge drinking, and 0% of our students have drank or been high at school. This is a survey that they get to take anonymously. I make sure to tell all the kids that nobody sees your name, nobody sees your data, be as honest as possible, and this is what the kids are sharing with us. So drug and alcohol use on our campus is very, very limited.
One thing, though, that I will note is most of the kids that are vaping do not associate it as a tobacco.
Correct.
So,
and we did have three students last year that were caught vaping. health routines. These are the things that really keep me up at night, is trying to figure out how to help our kids. 68% say that they eat breakfast, which means 32% of our kids come to school hungry. They don't feed themselves. They go through a day. Many of them don't eat lunch. So their first meal of the day and their last meal of the day is dinner. And they're not performing at their highest level because they're not getting proper nutrition. 16% of our students go to bed after midnight each night, 16%. We have, if we want to drop that number down to 10 p.m., students that claim to go to bed after 10 p.m. is more than half of our student population. So our students are coming to school hungry, and they're coming to school tired each day.
So Justin, with the free lunch and the free breakfast, why are those kids not eating?
So
is there any indication of that?
I would tell you that our 4-5s, the way that we model our 4-5 lunches is every kid goes into the cafeteria, every kid sits down, and because every kid goes in and sits down, every kid gets a meal. By 6th through 8th grade, they're not required to go into the cafeteria anymore. It's an open space for them to come in, sit down, eat their lunch, go and play, sit at the red picnic tables outside and play, but there's no requirement for them to eat. So by 7th grade, many of them have gotten out of the habit.
And another thing too is the social stigma. A lot of our kids don't want to admit that they're eating school lunch, so they don't raise their hand to do the lunch count. And a lot of kids right now are struggling with personal images and things like that when it goes on, so they don't think it's cool to eat in front of other people.
Gotcha.
So it's a battle that we really try to work on, self-esteem, but it is a problem.
I know years ago it used to be in Stanton. They used to get embarrassed by taking school lunch because they knew people would say, oh, they're a free kid, you know. But now everybody gets it free and they can't be judged based on that, but I understand the image issue, so.
Yeah.
Well, and if they're tired, they're not getting there early to eat breakfast because they went to bed after midnight.
I would say that the kids that come in, I encourage to go to breakfast every day. When they come on the bus, I encourage all those kids, go get something to eat. Come on, let's go get some food. And I try to get them all to go in there. I'll get into it later, but the other things we can do to kind of help those kids feed themselves, get rest, so that they're ready for school each day. When we talk about student well-being, these are the indicators of like chronic sadness, emotional distress, suicide thoughts, the optimism about their future. These numbers really, when we're talking about one out of every three kids that we have on our campus is experiencing chronic sadness, that's not a good sign. We have a lot of kids that are feeling, right now it's a sad world for a lot of kids. And they experience the same stuff that we experience as adults, but they don't know how to regulate those feelings. And as a result, we're seeing 33% of our kids experiencing chronic sadness. 48% are optimistic about their future, which means less than half of our kids see a positive future for themselves. And we need to make sure that we're addressing that, helping them to get to that point. Key takeaways: our strengths for our campus, our motivation, expectation, low substance use. Some of the concerns that we have would be bullying, emotional distress, and the focus challenges that our kids are having. Recommendations. Obviously, these are, when we look at a report like this, we should be looking at it and saying, okay, what can we do to address some of these things? And that's what I try to do with this piece here. So strengthening anti-bullying programs on our campus. We do each trimester, it's called State of the Falcon. The kids come into the gym We go over like goal setting ideas.